You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
So today I want to talk to you a little bit, and it's okay if I talk to the fathers a little bit and the men a little bit. But this is also for all of us because we're building something. Look at somebody and say, I'm building something. If you're going to write anything on your paper today at the top, just write, what am I building? What am I building? Can I have my stuff? Yeah. All right. Okay. Got to have my hammer if I'm going to build. How many have ever used one of these? How many have ever whacked yourself with one of these in the finger? A hammer can be a powerful tool to build, or it can be devastating. Amen. And so it's important that we build the right way. And today we're talking about that. Look at somebody say, be a wise builder. The Word of God instructs us and encourages us to be a wise builder. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 7:24. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person that builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So what we're talking about is building on the Word of God. Building on the Word of God. Not this world's philosophies. Not building our life off of stuff we saw on TV or a character we saw in the movies. How many have ever been impressed by a character that you saw in the movies and either intentionally or unintentionally, come on men, you started to kind of model some of your thing off of what you saw in that character. But the Bible actually is telling us to build our house off of the teachings that Jesus gives us. And if we build off the foundation that Jesus gives us in the Word of God, whatever happens in our life, no matter what circumstance, no matter what family problems, no matter what financial crisis may arise, at the end of all that, we'll still be standing. When the dust settles, when the storm is over, when the storm passes, come on, South Floridians, when the storm passes, the hurricane is over, you're still going to be standing. And Jesus says, well, it's not true about the people that build foolishly. They build off of other things and world philosophies and the thought processes that this world has. When the storm passes, it just collapses under the weight of the circumstance. So that's why it's important to not just be in partial obedience, but be in full obedience to this teaching that Jesus is talking about. Because when we're in full obedience, we have a rock solid foundation. And that's what Jesus wants us to have, is a rock solid foundation. Because no matter what problems, no matter what tragedy, no matter what difficulties that we go through, at the end, we're going to be standing. How many wants to be standing after the storm? And so that's what Jesus wants for us, because when we're not standing on the Word of God, we slip. And everything that we worked hard for can come crashing down if we're not standing on the truth of the Word of God. How many in your life, you went through one season of your life and you thought one thing was right, and then it wasn't but 2-5 years later you realized that was totally incorrect? And that's what happens when we build on a foundation other than the Word of God. Or maybe we have mostly the Word of God, but then we got some worldly philosophies in there too. We've got some cracks in our foundation now all of a sudden. And all of our hard work and our time and our effort and what we've saved and the relationships that we've built all in one season can come crashing down if we're not built on the Word of God. And we're building something precious. The Bible says that we're actually building a temple. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You don't belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You know, when we came to Christ, you know, it didn't come cheap. Jesus bought us at a high price. I realized when I came to Christ that my redemption was costly. It cost a lot. And if you came to Christ, it cost Christ a lot. And so if we realize we've been bought with a high price, then we also belong to Jesus. I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to Jesus. So if I belong to Jesus, then I want to make my life a place that Jesus is comfortable living in. Amen. So this is my temple. And it's not just a place for the old sin ways. My temple is not a place for anything. Our temples are reserved, it says, for the Holy Spirit. So we're building a house for God. Not just this. This is a building where we come and we meet, and this is a house for God, but this is also a house for God. So as we're building, we want to build with intentionality that I'm building something that is a place that will house the Spirit of God. I want to build this as a place that God feels welcome. So I'm going to throw out all the garbage. I'm going to throw out all the clutter. I'm going to throw out all my bad habits that I used to have so that God is comfortable. I want my house to be a place that's fit for a king. Look at somebody and say, I want my house to be a place that's fit for a king. For that to happen, though, we have to change the way we think about things. How many know that some of the biggest strongholds that's talked about in the Bible is the strongholds between your ears? The thought processes that we have that limit our ability to do the will of God. Our thought processes that limit the ability to prosper and to limit our ability to be blessed. And so we have to change the way that we see the world. We have to change the way that we think about things. We have to change the way that we see the world. And Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior of this world any longer, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So important in your transformation process is changing the way that you think. See, it's fundamental in the transformation process, because only then, it says, will you learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasant and perfect. So we don't really even know the fullness of what God's will is for us till we get some of the junk out of our life and we start thinking in a different way. Only then can we have the Holy Spirit working with us to the level that we actually know what God is trying to do in our lives. And so it's telling us, don't copy what the world is doing. Don't copy the way that the world builds their life. Everybody's building something. You know that, right? It's just we're building different things. As believers, we're supposed to be building one thing, and the world is oftentimes building something completely different. So we can't copy their plans, as Paul was saying. Don't imitate their behaviors. Don't imitate their customs, their strategies, their blueprints. We don't need to copy them. We already have an original that's perfect. Look at somebody and say, I have the original. Now, some of you guys that weren't born yesterday, you know what this is. And I can speak from experience, because I'm not just talking about it. I have some of these at my house. And so lift your hands if you know what this is, okay? This is what we used to get the mix right. You got to get that mix right. And so what we would do was we listen to something on the radio and you record it onto the cassette tape. You're talking about some high technology back then. You could take something from the radio and you could put it on here. You could take something from another cassette tape and put it on this cassette tape. And you keep on switching it around till you get all the songs that you want on this. Yeah, you got side A and you got side B. But the problem happens with this, and this is what it's considered in the audio world. When you take something from either the radio or the cassette and you make a copy of it, that's called a second generation. You move down a generation. And then if I make a copy of this cassette tape to another cassette tape, it's a copy of a copy. It's third generation. And if I make a copy of a copy of a copy, now it's a fourth generation. And for those that remember back in the days, if you did it too much, you end up listening to more hiss than you were listening to music. And so this essentially is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Don't imitate, don't copy the ways of the world. Instead, go back to the original source material. Because the world is a copy of a copy of a copy. It's a cheap copy. It's a diluted copy of what Jesus and what Adam was supposed to be. And so Paul is saying, go back to the original source material. Go back to the original. We don't need to copy anything from this world because we have the original. If you ever had an opportunity to copy from a copy or copy from the original, you always copied from the copy. So we don't need to copy others. We have the original. The beauty and the truth of this world that God has put can be best found in God, in the Word of God, in the presence of God, in the things of God. We really find the original source material. Look at somebody and say, imitate God.
Imitate God.
Imitate God. That's what Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 tells us. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. You know, a child is always imitating their father, always imitating their mother. And they're like little tape recorders. They say the same things we say. They do the same things we do. They imitate our mannerisms. Even some of our hang-ups, they imitate those things as well. Sometimes they get angry at the same stuff we get angry at, or they get angry the same way we get angry. But the Bible says, imitate God in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ, He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So we shouldn't be imitators of man. We should rather be imitators of God. And men today, if we want to be a real man, we should imitate God. If we want to be a real man, imitate Jesus Christ, which is the perfect example of what a man looks like. Before man was deluded by years and by generations of sin, diluting the copy of the copy of the copy, we go back and become what God has called us to do, to imitate God. We become a real man. Women, you become a real woman by imitating God and imitating Christ. I want us to imitate our Savior, our Redeemer, our Creator, not imitating a copy. Because I'm building a house. We are building temples. We don't need blueprints because we've got all the blueprints we need right here. You don't need the devil as your architect. He's already been fired. He's already been, when you came to Christ, you fired that architect and said, I got a new architect and His name is the Holy Spirit. He is at work in me. He's revealing His truth to me and He's showing me how I need to build. My house doesn't have to look like other houses in the neighborhood. My house doesn't have to look like the way they're building houses in the world. Why? Because the devil doesn't have any jurisdiction in my homeowners association. I don't belong to that. He can't put a sticker on my front door and say, you are not in compliance. No, because I don't have to report to him in how I build and how I maintain my house. And when somebody looks at you and says, I don't like how your house looks, it's okay. You don't have to build the same as the world. You shouldn't be building the same as the world. We don't have to conform to this way of the world's building because we're building on the rock. We're building with the plan of the Word of God, and this house will not be shaken. This house will not be shaken. Because the Bible clearly tells us everything that can be shaken, it will be shaken. But it says this, when you build on the Word of God, it can't be shaken. The winds can blow. Circumstances can happen. The economy can turn upside down. Politics can be all over the place. But at the end of the day, the people of God are still going to be standing because they're standing on the foundation of the Word and the promises of God. And it doesn't matter what other people are saying about what you're building. Don't be shaken by that. It matters more what you are saying, what's coming out of your mouth, because we build. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat its fruit. And so when I'm talking, when I'm saying something, I'm actually building with my words. I'm actually tearing down with my, you know, there's two sides to this hammer, right? There's one that you build with, and there's the other that you disassemble with. And sometimes we need to be building, and other times we need to be disassembling. And so with our words, we have life and we have death. I have the ability to speak life and invite God into my building project, or I have the ability to speak death and kill the works of the devil in my life. Life and death, I have the ability to curse what the devil is doing in my life and speak life to other things in my life because I want to build with my words. I'm not just foolishly or carelessly spending my words. Life and death are in my words. So what's coming out of your mouth? What have you allowed? And what have you disallowed on your job site? While you're building, what have you allowed? And what have you disallowed? Because we're all constructing or deconstructing something. God created the world in 6 days. But what type of world are you creating? What type of world are you creating? Are you creating a world, a space that God can be welcomed into? That's what Paul was talking about. Or are you creating a world that the enemy is going to run rampant? And he feels comfortable there enough to set up shop and cause problems for you. What type of world are you creating? Because the same power that God has, he gave this power to us to open up our mouth and say things and begin to create a world around us. And so when we're creating things, what type of world are we creating? Do we create a world that God can abide in? The Word of God says he desires to abide in the praises of his people. Other translation says he sits enthroned. His throne is on the praise of his people. So that means when I open up my mouth, I don't even have to be singing. But if my words are praising God, I'm welcoming him into my life and into my world, onto my job site, into my temple. I'm welcoming God when I praise, when I begin to lift the conversation, elevate the conversation above natural to a level where I begin to talk about the things of God and the promises of God and the Word of God. Things begin to shift and change, and I welcome the Holy Spirit of God into my life. So I'm watching my words because I want my words to be praise words. I want... David said, his praise shall continually be on my mouth. And you see why he was a man after God's own heart, and God was able to be so close to David because David was always inviting God back into his life by always the praise being continually on his mouth. So how are you building today? Are you building something that God can be involved in? Are we putting the focus on him? Are we building a house for him? So today, what work is left in your life? What work is left on your job site? We all have stuff to do. Maybe it's the master bedroom. Maybe it's the guest suite. Maybe it's the kitchen. We're building certain things. We're tearing other things down. What's left to be done? What section of the house are you working on? Righteousness, peace, joy, selflessness, forgiveness? What do you need to build up today? What do you need to tear down? Sometimes there's some stuff we need to tear down. Disobedience, anger, unforgiveness, old grudges, bad habits, selfishness. What is it? Psalm 118, 22 and 23 says, "The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see." You see, when we're building, Jesus has to be the cornerstone. Jesus has to be the plumb line. Jesus has to be the measuring stick. Jesus has to be the one that shows us, is my building going, am I putting this wall up the right way? Jesus is the cornerstone. Will you bow your heads with me today? What I'm praying for today is that the Holy Spirit would illuminate all of our job sites. The different places that need to be built up, the other places that need to be torn down. Maybe the Holy Spirit is showing you something while we've been talking. Maybe the Holy Spirit is showing you something right now that you need to do. Maybe there's something you need to build up. You need to work on this. Maybe there's something that you need to tear out. Maybe there's a little bit of both. I want to pray for you today. God, I thank you for each and every person that's here today. Lord, these are your sons and daughters. These are the ones that are precious to you. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit would invade their life. That your Holy Spirit would show them, God, what areas need to be worked on? What areas need to be built up? What areas need to be torn down? And God, that you would give them the courage to do it. You would give them the strength to do it. You would give them the heart to do it. Lord, I thank you, Father. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's when your Spirit partners with us that we're able to change. We're able to transform. We're able to do what we would not be able to do if it weren't for you. God, so we welcome you. We welcome you to do that. And as you have your heads down, maybe you say, Pastor, I know I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today. I would like to recommit, or I would like to commit to him for the first time, because I know, I realize I can't do this alone. I need Jesus' help. If that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to make that decision today, or I want to recommit. Slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Amen. It's the most important part right here. That's you. Just slip up your hand. Amen. Amen. God knows. God knows exactly where you are today. He's not looking down with judgment. He's looking down with love. He's the Heavenly Father that stands with his arms wide open, waiting to accept us back. Amen. If you lifted up your hand, just pray this prayer with me. And everybody, you can pray this. Jesus, thank you for the work on the cross. How you died for me. How you endured pain for me. How you paid the cost for me. Thank you for the free gift of salvation. Thank you for reconnecting me with the Father. And giving me eternal life. Jesus, I ask that you would lead me. Teach me what to build. Teach me what to tear down. Walk with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.